The fourth Sunday in Advent, in the year of our Lord, 2024. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Once again, the reading was from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 'Tis the season for visits and visitors. Anyone going somewhere else to visit family or friends for Christmas? Anyone have friends or family coming to visit them? I think this is the first time since my wife and I have been married that we'll neither be going to visit people nor having visitors with us for the week of Christmas. Though my brother-in-law and his wife will be coming for a short visit around the New Year. Today's gospel reading is usually referred to as the Visitation. With a title like the Visitation, I guess no matter how good your own visits are with friends or family, they'll never compare to Mary's visit with her relatives Elizabeth and Zechariah. And despite its brevity, I would say the Visitation is a beloved story for us Christians. So let's take a deeper look at some aspects of it. Right before this account, Mary has received word from the angel Gabriel that she will be the mother of Jesus, the Savior of the world. But that wasn't the only impossible thing Gabriel had made known to Mary. Gabriel concluded his message by saying, "Elizabeth, one who was previously called barren and who was considered too old to have a child, was already in her sixth month of pregnancy." I now know from experience how much you want to tell someone when you find out you're expecting a baby. And so Mary, despite any fears, also trusts in God and wants to share the angel's news with someone. Who better than her relative Elizabeth, who herself is expecting a miraculous baby? And thus, shortly after the announcement from the angel Gabriel, as indicated by that phrase, "in those days," perhaps suggesting about a week since Mary learned she was pregnant, she sets off from Nazareth to a town in Judah, about a 3 days' journey south, to visit Elizabeth and share her good news and rejoice in Elizabeth's good news. But of course, there's not just joy in these female relatives. There's joy in the babies each are carrying in their wombs. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed, "When the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." within minutes of Mary arriving. And as soon as she greets Elizabeth and tells her her good news, John the Baptist rejoices at meeting his Savior. Elizabeth's in her third trimester, where it's pretty normal for babies to be moving around and for mothers to feel those movements. But Elizabeth is also filled with the Holy Spirit to know her baby's leap was anything but normal. It was a leap of joy at being in the presence of God in the flesh. And this foreshadows John and Jesus' relationship some 30 years later, when John will prepare the way for Jesus the Messiah and will ensure people have the correct response to God in the flesh. But even more, John's leap of joy in the womb also tells us that babies and infants can absolutely have faith in Jesus, and thus should be brought to the baptismal font as soon as possible. Plus, babies are a beloved, joy-filled part of God's creation, even in the womb. And thus, they should be protected from the evils of abortion at all costs. Now, not just John, but Elizabeth also responds joyfully and in faith to Mary and her good news. In fact, Elizabeth blesses Mary, not for anything Mary did, but because of the Christ child dwelling in Mary's womb. Indeed, all of us who have Christ dwelling in and with us are blessed like Mary. Elizabeth even gives Mary the title, the Mother of My Lord, confessing her faith that Mary is the Mother of God and Mary's Son is the Lord God in the flesh. Finally, Elizabeth blesses Mary for believing in God's word and trusting in God's promises. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. These words also reveal Elizabeth's faith in God's words and promises. And Elizabeth's imitation of Mary's faith is a lesson for us still today to follow the example of Mary, to follow the example of Mary's faith. Faith which trusts God's word and promises, and know that all these find their fulfillment in Jesus' life and ministry. Though it's not a part of today's gospel, we're told that Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and returned to her home. For us today, this may seem like a long visit, but if we do the math, a 3-month visit works out well. Elizabeth's already 6 months pregnant when Mary learns this from the angel Gabriel. Figuring in a week or two for Mary to prepare and then travel to Elizabeth, this means that Mary stays and visits Elizabeth until after John the Baptist is born. Mary is there to see the one who will prepare the way for the baby in her womb, the one who will prepare the way for the Messiah. Mary is there to help Elizabeth and Zechariah during John's first few weeks of life. And at the end of this 3-month visitation, Mary enters the second trimester of her own pregnancy, a time when it is generally considered safe to travel. Mary can return to Elizabeth and to her betrothed Joseph in relative comfort and safety, though to only turn around less than 6 months later and make another trip to a town in Judah, this time with her husband Joseph, to the little town of Bethlehem, where Mary will give birth to her son, the one who will bring peace to the world. With all this information, we know that Mary's visit with Elizabeth takes place in spring and early summer. So why are we hearing about the visitation on this, the second day of winter, in just a few days before Christmas? Because Mary's visit with Elizabeth points us to God's own visit to earth, where Mary visited Elizabeth carrying the baby Jesus, God visited earth, clothed in the flesh of the one who is true God and true man, Jesus Christ. Where Mary visited and dwelt with Elizabeth for 3 months, God visited and dwelt on earth in Jesus Christ for about 30 years. Where Mary's visit brought Elizabeth and John much joy, God's visit in Jesus Christ brings us much joy and peace. And where Elizabeth declared Mary blessed upon her visit, God declares all of us blessed for visiting us in his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Earlier, I said that no other visit compares to Mary's visit with Elizabeth, since we call that story the visitation. But of course we know the most important visit of all is God's visit to us in Jesus Christ. Because by that visit, Jesus fulfilled the whole law in our place. By that visit, Jesus dwelt in and worked in and experienced life in this sin-filled world, so that he could comfort and guide you in this fallen world. By that visit, Jesus died as true God and true man in your place, meaning that Jesus' visitation blesses you with forgiveness of sins. Upon his death, Jesus even visited hell so that you would never have to. And Jesus visited hell to conquer the devil so that he would no longer visit and harass you. Yet Jesus' visit in hell did not last long, for he was resurrected from the dead after 3 short days so that you could visit heaven and have a place to live there forever. Like Mary's visit to Elizabeth, eventually God's visit to us in Jesus Christ had to come to an end. 40 days after his death and resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven, which looked like the end of God's visitation to us. But actually, Jesus ascended into heaven so that he could be present everywhere. Now, God visits and is dwelling with and even in you always. God visits us in our homes, schools, workplaces, churches, and even when we're spending time in God's name with others. God visits us in the waters of baptism to forgive our sins and make us his children, God visits us in the words of Scripture to strengthen our faith and guide us in holy living. God visits us in the body and blood of Jesus on that altar to forgive our sins, strengthen our faith, and preserve us to life everlasting. And so really, unlike Mary's visit to Elizabeth, God's visit to us in Jesus Christ has never ended. But it has only changed what it looks like. Nonetheless, we are all awaiting that day when God will visit us in the flesh of Jesus Christ once again, when he comes in glory to raise us from the dead, to take us from this veil of tears, and to bring us to heaven, where we will worship and visit with God face to face forever. And thus, whether you are a visitor or will have visitors this Christmas season, in those visits, may you remember and give thanks for God's visit to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Like Elizabeth and John, may you leap and cry out for joy at how God has visited and blessed you in the birth of our Savior. And this Advent season and always, may you be prepared for Christ's visit on the last day by faithfully receiving the gifts of Christ's present visitation, of his word and sacraments. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Having heard the word of God, we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. God's richest blessings to you this weekend and this week ahead, and especially in your Christmas celebrations.